Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Does it concern you that good men in the Bible sometimes made bad decisions? It surely concerns me. The concern, obviously, is that if they made bad decisions in their days, what's to prevent us from making bad decisions in our days? We need to learn from their mistakes, and we need to heed that just because we may have made some good decisions in the past, we may not make good decisions in the future. So today we're going to preach on how to avoid making some bad decisions. And we're going to figure it out based on what we see that happened to these men in the Old Testament that we're going to study today. And the first person we're going to study is Joshua. Joshua and Israel, when they came into the promised land. You might remember that as they were beginning to take the land, as they were beginning to destroy the inhabitants of the land, there was a group in Gibeon that came and presented themselves to Joshua and asked Joshua and Israel would make a league with them. And this league would offer protection so that Gibeon would not be destroyed. The problem is, Joshua and Israel were fooled by the appearance that these men presented when they petitioned for a league. Let's go to Joshua chapter 9, and I'll show you what we're talking about. In Joshua chapter 9, these men of Gibeon gathered themselves together, and they knew what had happened in Jericho. They knew what had happened in Ai. In Joshua chapter 9, verse 4, they did work wilily and went and made as if they had been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their asses, and wine bottles old and rent and bound up, and old shoes and clouted upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. In verse 6, they went to Joshua into the camp at Gilgal, and said unto him and to the men of Israel, "We be come from a far country. Now therefore make ye a league with us." Well, there was some suspicion. The men of Israel in verse 7 said, "Peradventure you dwell among us, and how shall we make a league with you?" Now, what this whole scenario is based on is something that God told Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 20. He told them that they were to destroy all the inhabitants of the land that inhabited the land that they were to occupy. But He went on to say in Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 15, that it was okay to make a league with cities that are very far off from thee, which are not of the nations in the area that they were going to inhabit. So these men of Gibeah thought, hey, if we pretend that we come a long way away, then the people here in Judah are going to make a league with us, and they won't destroy us, and we'll be saved. And in fact, they did make a league with them. They did decide to let them live because they believed that they were from a very far country. Verse 9, they said unto him, "From a very far country thy servants are come, because of the name of the Lord thy God, for we have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt." It was a terrible mistake. Verse 16, it came to pass at the end of 3 days, after they had made a league with them, that they heard that they were their neighbors and that they dwelt among them. Man, what a bad mistake. How in the world were they fooled? Well, it's very simple. Joshua chapter 9, verse 14. The men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. They made this bad decision because they neglected to pray before they decided. Here's the lesson you and I need to learn. We're going to make bad decisions when we neglect to pray before we decide. You see, this bad decision that Joshua and Israel made was the result of not asking counsel at the mouth of the Lord. To avoid bad decisions, you need to pray until you know the mind of the Lord in the matter. It's essential. Let's go to an example where somebody did pray and where God gave specific guidance, and the result was very good. 2 Samuel chapter 5. 2 Samuel chapter 5, this is after David has come to the throne. The Philistines gather themselves together to attack, and watch what happens. In 2 Samuel chapter 5, in verse 17, when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David, and David heard of it and went down to the hold. The Philistines, in verse 18, also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand?" And the Lord said unto David, "Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand." And David came to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there, and said, "The Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me as the breach of waters." Do you understand? Before David went into that battle, he sought the Lord, and God told him exactly what to do, and God blessed him and delivered Israel from the hand of the Philistines. But you know what the Philistines did? They spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim in verse 22. And David did not rely upon the first answer that he got from the Lord and assume that because he had had one victory, because the Lord had directed him to that victory, he stopped and he prayed again. Look at verse 23. When David inquired of the Lord, he said, "Thou shalt not go up." And what the Lord directed him to do instead is go over to the mulberry trees and wait until he heard the sound of going in the tops of the trees. That's verse 24. "Then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines." And David did it. So two times he sought direction from the Lord, and the Lord gave different direction each time, and each time God gave the victory. So you and I cannot assume that because we have received direction from the Lord in a prior decision that we've made, that he's going to give us the same counsel and direction for a similar decision that we make thereafter. You always have to pray. So first of all, we've learned you'll make bad decisions when you neglect to pray before you decide. Here's the second thing. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 16. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, you're going to be looking at King Asa. King Asa was a good king. According to 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 17, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days. That's a good king. Not all the kings were like that. Most of the kings were not perfect all their days, but Asa was. Nevertheless, Israel has started to gather together, and they were threatening the northern border of the two southern tribes of Judah, over which Asa was the king. And Asa got very concerned about what they were doing, what Baasha was doing up in Ramah in the northern border. that was going to jeopardize Judah's safety. And so what he did is in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, he made a decision to get help from Syria. 2 Chronicles 16:2, then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, "There is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me." And so they made the league, and Ben-Hadad began to attack, and Baasha stopped building Ramah, stopped threatening the northern border of Judah, and left. And then Asa directed his men to go get the building materials that were there and fortify his own cities. So he thought he made a good decision. And I think probably Judah thought he made a good decision. But the fact is, he made a horrible decision. And he made the horrible decision because he relied upon men rather than God. Look in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 7, 6, 7 and 8, or 7. At that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, "Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand." Do you understand? He made a league with an enemy. Syria was an enemy of Judah. And by giving them money to upset the plans of Baasha on the northern border of Judah, he got an initial victory or initial relief. But the problem is, now he strengthens his enemy, and God said, "Therefore the host of the king of Syria is escaped out of thine hand." Asa made a terrible decision because he relied on the king of Syria and not on the Lord his God. You'll make bad decisions when you rely upon men rather than God. Now, here's something you may not remember, but I'll tell you about it. When Asa began his reign, Ethiopia attacked, and Asa cried unto the Lord and relied upon God. Why? Because Judah was outnumbered 1 million soldiers to 580,000 soldiers. He was outnumbered nearly 2 to 1. Such a sizable army against him, he knew there was no way that he could win that victory without the Lord's help. And so he petitioned God, and God intervened. God smote the Ethiopians and delivered Judah. You can read about that in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verses 8 to 13. It was a fabulous, resounding victory. So Asa already had experience with God stepping in and intervening for the protection of his country. And yet, when he saw Israel fortifying the northern border and potentially setting up for a future attack, he didn't rely upon God like he did in the battle with Ethiopia. And Asa should have relied upon the Lord against Israel, but he didn't. Instead, he sent Ben-Hadad gold and silver from the treasures of the house of the Lord. And when the prophet Hanani reproved him for this decision, you know what Asa did? In 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 7 through 10, Asa locked Hanani up in prison for telling him the truth and bringing God's reproof. What went wrong with Asa? I mean, up until this time, he had always relied upon the Lord. He had taken away the idols and renewed the altar of the Lord. That's 2 Chronicles 15:8. He led Judah to enter into a covenant to seek the Lord God. That's 2 Chronicles 15:12. And he removed his idolatrous mother from being queen. 2 Chronicles 15, verse 16. He started off very well. But toward the end of his reign, when he had wealth and influence, he relied upon his resources and his associations rather than the Lord. He obviously didn't think he needed the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something. When God has been good to you and you have resources and you have influence, you're going to make bad decisions when you quit relying upon the Lord like you did when you didn't have these means and you start relying on other men. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 118, verse 8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. So we've seen already two cases how bad decisions are made. Bad decisions are made when you rely upon men rather than God, and when you neglect to pray before you decide. But there's another one. We want to look at this one in 2 Chronicles chapter 18 and verse 1. And this particular one concerns Jehoshaphat and Ahab. Jehoshaphat is the king of the two southern tribes, and Ahab is the king of the 10 northern tribes of Israel. Ahab is the wickedest king that Israel ever had. Initially, when Jehoshaphat came to the throne, 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 1 tells us that he strengthened himself against Israel. In other words, he saw what his father had contended with, and so he decided to make sure that his country was fortified against a possible attack from Ahab. But after some time of reigning, Jehoshaphat made a terrible decision. 2 Chronicles chapter 18, verse 1. Now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance and joined affinity with Ahab. Do you know what it means to join affinity with somebody? To join affinity with Ahab meant that he married into the family. Jehoshaphat married Ahab's sister. Everything about Ahab's kingdom was wicked. He was a wicked king. His wife was a wicked queen. You can read about all the horrible things they did. And yet, Jehoshaphat married into the family. And that was a terrible decision. It changed his initial plan. His initial plan was to strengthen himself against Israel. That was the right thing to do since Israel was Judah's enemy. But in addition, he didn't worship Balaam like they did up in Israel. He sought the Lord like they didn't do up in Israel. He took away the high places and the groves, which is what they were doing in Israel. And he sent priests and Levites throughout the kingdom to teach the book of the law. He made fabulous decisions for the Lord. But in order to attempt to reunite the divided kingdoms of Judah and Israel, Jehoshaphat married the sister of the king of Israel. Evidently, they'd been negotiating some way to get Judah and Israel back together again after they had been divided following Solomon's reign. Okay, here's the problem. Jehoshaphat ended up going into a battle with Ahab because now they are allies. And after he went into that battle with Ahab, Jehu, the seer, proclaimed to Jehoshaphat that the Lord's wrath was on him for helping the ungodly and loving them that hate the Lord. That's 2 Chronicles chapter 19, verses 1 and 2. In other words, the decision he made to join affinity with the family and fight together for Israel's protection was contrary to God's will, and the Lord's wrath was on him for helping the ungodly and loving them that hate the Lord. What's the lesson here? You will make bad decisions when you unequally yoke yourself with unbelievers. Why? Because unbelievers are going to make decisions that are based on their will. They're going to convince you to go along with them in their will. And if their will is contrary to God's will, you are going to make a bad decision. So to avoid bad decisions, You need to obey God and be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You read about what I just said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. From verse 14 in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 all the way to verse 18, the Lord is telling us, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness?" Do you understand? God will help you in a very special way when you're making decisions God's way, and when you are going God's way. When you, let's say, marry a spouse who's unsaved, and they want to go in a direction that God doesn't want you to go, and you go along with them to keep the peace, now you are going contrary to God. Or if you have an ungodly partner, let's say you chose to get into partnership with somebody that's ungodly, and they make a decision that is contrary to God's will, and you have to go along with them on that decision that's contrary to God's will, you're going to make a bad decision. When you attempt to put things together that God wants to keep separate, you can make yourself an enemy of God. Know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? So be very careful who you do business with. I mean, where you are bound by the decisions they make to do something contrary to God, and who you marry. If you marry an unbeliever and you make decisions that are contrary to God, you're going to make bad decisions. You and I are supposed to make decisions according to the Lord's will and not according to an unsaved partner's will or an unsaved spouse's will that is contrary to God's will. Work God's way, not the world's way. And then one more case we want to see concerning, again, Jehoshaphat and Ahab, is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 18, verses 16 through 27. And this is the place where Ahab asked Jehoshaphat to fight that battle with him at Ramoth-Gilead, the one where Jehu had to rebuke him after the war. Jehoshaphat pledged his support to Ahab to go into this battle before he even knew whether God was going to protect them in the battle or not. Jehoshaphat, he's like, "We need to inquire of the Lord." All of Ahab's prophets, like a pep rally, were telling them to go into the battle. But there was a prophet there named Micaiah. Ahab hated him because he never prophesied anything good about that wicked king. And Jehoshaphat and Ahab heard Micaiah's prophecy. They got the Lord's answer. And the Lord's answer was that Ahab was going to die in that battle. And you know what? Even after hearing that prophecy, Ahab was determined to go into the war. That makes sense. But surprisingly, Jehoshaphat was willing to go into the battle with him and even went into the battle dressed in his own robes. Ahab dressed up like a soldier, Jehoshaphat like a king, and nearly got killed for it because the instructions were, shoot the king. That's a terrible decision. Ahab and Jehoshaphat both neglected the truth preached by the preacher. Here's the lesson. You will make bad decisions when you neglect truth preached by God's preacher. Let me say it again. You will make bad decisions when you neglect truth preached by God's preacher. Get that. To avoid bad decisions, listen carefully to good preaching and good pastoral counsel and follow what you hear. I've said good and godly preaching. I realize there are some pastors who don't give good counsel, and I realize there are pastors who are not godly. But when you got a godly pastor and he preaches the truth, you listen carefully to that preaching and you follow what you hear. The Lord uses good preaching to give you and I direction in our lives. But the preaching will not do you any good if you don't follow what you hear. James said, "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." It is a tragic mistake to hear something like a reproof from the Lord, which preaching often is, or a rebuke from the Lord, which preaching often is, and then you neglect to follow it because you still want to do what you want to do or what you have agreed with somebody else that you're going to do. And you don't want to live like that. You don't want to make bad decisions that God is not pleased with, and you don't want the consequences of bad decisions. Bad decisions have bad consequences ultimately, and you don't want that. We've seen it in every case. So let's review as we close. Bad decisions can be made even after you have made many good decisions. To avoid bad decisions, remember, first of all, pray before you decide and follow what God leads you to do in prayer. Pray before you decide. Number two, rely upon God rather than men, because bad decisions are made when you rely upon men rather than God. To avoid bad decisions, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. I mean, if you're in business, you're going to be doing business with people who don't know the Lord like you do. I understand that. We both understand that. And this gives you an opportunity to witness. But when you're yoked up where the decision they make that is contrary to God, you have to follow, you're going to make a bad decision. So rely upon God rather than men, and be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And finally, listen to and follow good preaching. Good preaching is designed so that God can speak to you about God's matters and give you His will to follow. Listen and follow what He says. That's how to make a good decision.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you. In the meantime, stay tuned each weekday afternoon at 4 p.m. right here on KCTA for The Unknown Bible.